And good morning to everyone. Before we begin, I should note that Justice Wright will not be participating on any of today's cases. With that in mind, our first case of the day is In Re Interest of Lily S. Ms. Wade, good morning to you. You may proceed.
Thank you. May it please the court, my name is Zoe Wade and I represent Kenny S., the father in the non-court proceeding who is appealing the adjudication of his children under 43-247-38 of the Nebraska Juvenile Code. The basis for this appeal is essentially twofold, principally that the evidence did not sustain the court's determination that the allegations in count two of the petition, which relate to the father, were supported by sufficient evidence. That's a fairly straightforward argument. The evidence adduced at the adjudication was essentially the testimony of the mother that there had been a single incident where the father had pushed her to get out of the way, that he had left the home, that she had contacted law enforcement. She further testified this was the only time that there had been a physical altercation between the parents and that the children were not in the residence and were with the maternal grandparents at that time. I believe the case law is fairly straightforward. That this is insufficient to support the court's determination that the allegations had been proven by a preponderance of the evidence. There was no determination, any evidence regarding risk of harm to these children. There was no explanation as to how this any evidentiary nexus established. I think that there's plenty of case law that supports that. I will concede that if the court does find that that testimony was sufficient, then we don't really get to the constitutional issue that I've raised in this appeal, specifically the history of cases in the court's interpretation, 247.3, subsection 5, which the case law appears to establish that if there is a pleading against one parent, if that parent enters a plea, even if there is no other filing against another parent, that non-offending parent can nonetheless be subject to jurisdictional orders of the juvenile court, specifically a rehabilitation plan. And the court in this case made a very specific finding that because the mother had entered a plea immediately prior to the father's adjudication, that the factual basis for that plea applies equally to the father. And that's what we're really contesting here today. And although I haven't found any case law that specifically supports that, I believe the line of cases interpreting subsection 5 of 247 would essentially amount to the same thing. If this court does find that the evidence is insufficient to sustain count 2 of this petition, that this court, under the current state of authority, could nonetheless find that because the child was adjudicated or children were adjudicated under the plea of the mother, that that subjects the father to authority to enter rehabilitation.
As a practical matter, if the juvenile court can't bring in the other parent, how can rehabilitation take place?
If the juvenile court cannot what?
If the juvenile court cannot bring the non-offending parent, how can any rehabilitation of the family take place?
Well, if the single parent is determined to have placed the child at risk of harm, then the rehabilitation plan should really address services for that parent.
But factually, in this case, for example, both parents appear to have been involved.
That was the allegation. At the outset of these hearings, we advise the parents, first of all, we appoint separate attorneys. We advise them that they have separate rights. We advise that they each have a fundamental constitutional right to the care and custody of their child. We advise them that they have the right to a hearing to answer any of these allegations. And if we don't recognize that the parents have separate rights,
counsel,
the idea that the non-offending parent even has due process rights is a fiction.
Counsel, isn't the whole purpose of juvenile court the best interest of the child, not the parent?
That is the focus of juvenile court, but obviously there is recognition that the parents fundamental liberty interest and their right to raise their child is implicated in this proceeding. And as a result of that, they are entitled to procedural due process protection.
Okay. But if the court adjudicates a child, all the court does is adjudicate the child to be within its jurisdiction at the adjudication hearing, correct?
I would disagree with that. I would say...
Okay, do you have any legal support?
Well, what is determined at the adjudication is whether or not the court has the authority to enter a rehabilitation plan. And what that means in terms
where do you come up with that language you're using? The language in the cases, don't they simply say the court has jurisdiction over the child?
They do say that the court has jurisdiction over the child, but there's also the determination that once the court assumes jurisdiction of the child, that that confers the authority to order a rehabilitation plan. And that's where the parents' rights are implicated. It's not at the dispositional phase. It's at the determination of whether or not the court can, in fact, lawfully, without affording the parent the opportunity to challenge any allegation, order the parent to, for example, participate in a 36-week batterer's intervention program, typically at the cost of the parent, whether or not they can order that the parent's contact with that child be supervised, or not they can order them to open their home and allow people to come in and watch them go to the bathroom and submit to testing of their urine. So the rights of the parent are clearly implicated at the adjudication phase, regardless of the dicta that would suggest that we're only determining the rights of the child. What's actually at issue at an adjudication is the charges against the parent.
What's your proposal?
Pardon me?
What's your proposal? Because is this correct? Your objection is that the assertion of jurisdiction denies your client due process. That's, is that it?
That is.
Okay, what's your proposal?
My proposal is that the juvenile court should not be deemed to have acquired authority over that parent when the parent has not had...
That's the statement of the question. What's your proposal?
That is the answer.
That's your problem.
No, that the parent is entitled to that process. That if the juvenile court is going to order a parent to undergo these services, it's very simple that the state has to demonstrate that that parent is unfit before the juvenile court can interfere with that fundamental relationship and require
a demonstration of unfitness is an outcome. How do you gain jurisdiction?
I'm not sure I understand the question.
Your objection is to jurisdiction. Hailing the party into court, as we used to say. Right.
Yes.
Nothing's been proven.
Right.
Right.
Well, I guess my response is that the state should have the obligation to demonstrate parental unfitness.
That's the outcome. Must it make allegations of unfitness prior to bringing your client in? Is that what you mean?
Yes. I think if there are no allegations, it's the allegations that trigger the process. The right, we advise parents that they have the right at the outset of the case to challenge the charges against them. This court's previous determination that the parents' rights are only determined, are only at issue at the dispositional phase, does not comport with Matthews versus Eldridge because of the fundamental nature of the parental rights.
So your proposition is exercising jurisdiction is tantamount to having decided the outcome?
I'm not sure I would phrase it like that. I would say that if the state is going to proceed and make allegations against a parent and allege that that parent is unfit, then and those allegations are proven at a adjudication by a preponderance of the evidence, then it makes sense that the court would have the authority to order that parent to participate in services.
What would be the objective of all of this?
To reunify the child with that parent.
Got to deal with the parent.
Certainly. Once
the children aren't doing offending things, right?
That's correct.
Okay.
That's correct.
And arguably the parents are or are not.
That's correct.
Okay.
And if there has been no allegation that a parent has been placing their child at risk of harm, then it is not reasonable to require that for them to regain custody of their child that they have to participate in services.
If you can't prove it, don't exercise jurisdiction.
I think that's reasonable. I think that's a pretty fundamental basis of procedural due process. It requires...
I'm confused on the temporal procedure that you're proposing.
I'm not sure that I understand the question.
You've got to start somewhere.
Okay, certainly, with a petition. There's a filing. Frequently, the state can elect to file against one parent. They can elect to file against both parents. Subsequently, there's the opportunity for an adjudication, theoretically. Under the current case law, it appears that if one person enters a plea, that the other parent can be made to have their separate fundamental right to the care and custody of their child interfered with, for lack of a better word, by the juvenile court's order as to
the interpretation. So it's the plea of mom that offends the dad, not the fact that the children are adjudicated.
I'm not sure. It's the plea of the mother.
That you don't want attributed to the dad.
Well, that's correct. And I think that's true in every other circumstance that I'm familiar with. In a civil case, if you have a judgment against one party, and even if it involves the exact same issues, it is not enforceable against another party if they are not in privity. If I just finish this one thought, if
you have
two criminal defendants, co-defendants, and one enters a plea and admits a factual basis that implicates the other co-defendant, that co-defendant still has the right to have a trial.
Counsel, I have a question I want to squeeze in, and that is, I would grant you that parental unfitness is a prerequisite of termination of parental rights. Are you contending that parental unfitness is a prerequisite to any juvenile court intervention in a family?
Absolutely. You place a parent in a Hobson's choice if the other offending
parent... And what's
parent,
what's your best authority for that?
It would be my...
Best case.
The best case would be the line of cases that I am arguing to this court today are not constitutional. In Ray Maya's
case. Now, what's your best constitutional case authority that any intervention in and of itself, without termination, requires showing a parental unfitness?
In re interest of Sloan O. The
okay.
Parental preference doctrine is rooted in the United States Constitution, and unless it is affirmatively shown that a biological or adoptive parent is unfit, the United States Constitution and sound public policy protect a parent's right to custody of his or her child. When you adjudicate a child and one parent, and there are no allegations proven against a non-offending parent, if the current line of cases is upheld, that person faces the Hobson's choice. They either participate in juvenile court order services,
let me,
or they terminate.
You're going a lot further than I'm asking. What I'm asking you is, where does that unfitness requirement kick in? And as I'm hearing your answer from Sloan O, it's at custody. If the state petitions but never removes the child, at that point, are you contending that there still requires a showing of unfitness for remedial action by a juvenile court?
If a petition is filed but the child is not removed?
Yes, if the custody remains with the parent. The parent's custody is unaffected, but there are remedial actions taken to solve whatever problems that appear to exist in the family.
I guess one, I would say yes, that that would still implicate the parents.
And what's your best authority for that case?
I would say it's still Sloan O.
All right, thank
the
you.
Parental rights to custody of their child is entitled to protection, procedural due process protection, unless it's been shown that the parent has been proven to be unfit.
Thank you. I appreciate your answer.
Thank you. Thank you very much. So we will go on to the next case of the day, which is Jacobs Engineering Group.